Welcome to the Adonis Lifestyle Podcast. With me today is Joe Weaver. Joe came in second in the open senior class, and he is going to be 60 years young tomorrow. And Joe's pictures were inspiring to all. And we were just speaking just now that they might even be a little bit of a wake-up call or a reality check for anybody who's less than 59 years old who is not in as good of shape as Joe is. It's time for people to smarten up and realize that they've got no excuse. So, Joe, thanks for being on the call, and let's just jump right into stuff. We were talking some. I do want to get back to the breathing stuff, so let's remember that. But to start with, how did you? I mean, you have quite a history with exercise and fitness. Can you just walk us through what you've done over time, like before joining our community, like what you've done as far as fitness and diet?
Yes. Let's see. Well, my first time with weight training was a long time ago when I was about 28 years old. And a friend of mine was into a program. There was a new book out by Frank Zane and called, I think, The Zane Way to a Beautiful Body. He wrote the book with his wife. And so I was 28 and not in as good a shape as I had been when I was earlier in my 20s, and decided to do that program and had some time to do it. So I took about 10 weeks. I stayed on that program and I made significant gains. And at the same time, I did what was popular at the time, which was low fat, high protein, hardly any carbohydrates. That was during the 70s. That was about 78 or 79.
And I'm
And
so glad you pointed that out because it's cyclical. Those things come and go.
oh, really?
Yeah.
Yeah. So I got great results. Started to get positive comments from my family and friends, and then got busy, and it just went sort of by and by. And over the years, I'd say from about that time, which would be about 1979 to about 2007, I would just, I'd get the bug and I'd go to the weight room and go to the gym for, 2 weeks or a month or 6 weeks here and there, but never really sticking with it. It was something that was just, I desired to look and feel better, and I always knew that not only when I would work out, I would not only look better, but I'd psychologically and emotionally I would be better. It was like every time I noticed this from one of the first times I started working with weights, is that it would calm me down, it would center my mind. It would, if I was worried about anything, it would sort of wipe that out of my mind. And so I got a lot of good, self-reinforcement just from working out, but it's not something that I made a habit of. So, my son, in 2007, my son was in high school and he wanted me to teach him how to work out. So I got out that old, Frank Zane book, and we started to do those routines, and it felt good, and I got more interested, and I had a little bit more time at that stage in my life where I could, discipline myself to work out regularly, and I had enough equipment, and so I didn't have to go out to go to town. It would be about 20 minutes to get to town, so it was real handy, and I could just go down to my workout room in the basement. And I decided that it would be a really neat idea if, when I was 60 years old, that I was in the best shape of my life. And that just sort of put a bug in my bonnet, and I decided, well, I should just really do this. And so at that stage, I started scouring the internet and trying to find whatever programs and information that I could, started reading everything I could, and within a short time it got very confusing.
Yeah, no kidding, eh?
Yeah, because there's a lot of, you know, there's everything out there, and you don't really know who to believe and who to follow. So after doing a lot of reading, I think the first thing, I decided to buy a program, and I decided, I think it was Jay Ferrugia.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know how to pronounce his last name.
Yeah, that's right, Ferrugia.
Okay, his Muscle Building Secrets program. And I was making progress, just some progress using the old Frank Zane program, but I found I needed something a little bit more comprehensive.
Mm-hmm.
So I started the Muscle Building Secrets, and you know, one of the tenets of that was at that time, I know Jay changes things, and I was just on his website last week, and he had a whole article about he had Brad Pilon do a guest article on intermittent fasting,
mm-hmm.
and was really promoting that. So Jay does change his protocol, and he's always wanting to have his mind open to what works the best, which I really give him, you know, a high five for that. But at the time that I got started in it, which was about maybe late 2007, early 2008, there was still a lot of emphasis on sort of the seafood diet, you know, whatever food you see, then you eat,
mm-hmm.
and as much as you can. And so the whole idea of, well, you have to eat big to get big was really prevalent. So my whole life, I'd weighed about 145 pounds since high school.
At what height?
At about 5'8".
Mm-hmm.
Actually, 5'8½", and mm-hmm. I've shrunk a little over the 60 years, so now I'm 5'8".
So your index goes up just from that?
Yeah.
There's another secret technique.
It's a secret technique of aging.
Yeah. Okay, so you're actually following the... Okay, so you've always been around 145, and then we're getting to the eat big to get big. Did you actually do that? Like, did you actually start eating more?
Yeah.
You did?
You know,
okay, what happened?
Yeah, the whole six meals a day and eat as much as you can. Well, I went up to, in about 10 months' time, I went up to 166.
Okay, so almost 20 pounds.
Yeah.
And then,
Well, you know, it was, you know, I got a lot of compliments from friends who said, oh, so you're working out, because, you know, they'd see me with my shirt on, and I looked a lot bigger with my shirt on.
Mm-hmm.
And so I got to the stage of, you know, what Adonis would call shirt on big.
Right.
But I was, so I put on some muscle, and at the same time I put on a bunch of fat, and I just wanted not so much fat, you know. It's like I'm a general contractor, and I build log homes, and my crew does most of the heavy lifting, but I have to go around and get all the supplies, and I noticed that 166 pounds, you know, I'd be huffing and puffing when I'd put the supplies in my pickup, and that just didn't feel comfortable, and it didn't feel healthy to me.
Now, what about your look at that site? Like, besides the physical feeling of you actually started noticing you were kind of more laboring to get work done, did you have a reaction to, like, at what point, was that the only thing, or was that the first thing to kind of put up a flag that maybe 160 whatever pounds was a bit much? Like, well, what about your look? Were you pleased with it? Did you like kind of just being big, or?
I liked it. Yeah, it was like the only, you know, it was the most I'd ever weighed, and it was the biggest I'd ever looked, and I liked it. You know, and I liked being able to wear, you know, a t-shirt and get compliments from everybody.
Mm.
It was great that way. But My wife says that she likes it. But I still had this spare. I had a fair sized gut, and I didn't like it. It was
right.
just, you know, it was just a little too much. And you know, if I took my shirt off and went swimming, you don't see that many 60-year-old guys with their shirt off, unless you go to, you know, down to Mexico or the Caribbean, to some of those timeshares,
right.
And then they all look like sort of like they're 9 months pregnant. But so I just decided, I want to slim down. I want to trim down.
Mm-hmm.
And at that time, one of the recommendations that was coming up a lot on internet sites was the high intensity interval training,
mm-hmm.
where you run as fast as you can or sprint as fast as you can for a certain amount of time, and then you walk for, you know, you walk for a couple minutes and you do, you know, 6 or 8 cycles of that. So that was one of the recommendations, is if you want to slim down, still keep eating big, because you need to eat big to get to grow muscle. Then what you need to do is run these intervals and do that on your off day, and that'll take care of the body fat.
Mm-hmm.
So I tried that, and my body fat, I was able to come down from 166 to 159.
Mm-hmm.
And it was like a special occasion. My wife and I decided to renew our wedding vows after 20 years.
Oh, nice.
It was in 2008, in the summer of 2008. So I thought, okay, well, this will give me a goal. I'll slim down to get, you know, in better shape for that. So it was an achievement to get down to 159, but that gut was still there. And I didn't notice it until, you know, there were some pictures of us after the wedding ceremony, and we were just lounging around, and I had my shirt off in the video, and it was just like, there's that gut.
Mm.
And I still thought that, you know, there was a gut, and my shoulders still were, to me, looked kind of puny.
So overall, was the interval training was a fail, a pass, a push? Didn't really get you where you want to go, right?
It didn't get me where I wanted to go, and it was a lot of work.
Mm.
You know, it's like a lot of huffing and puffing, and it's a lot more work than weight training, because you really have to, you know, for part of the time you have to go all out, or else you're really not going to get any results at all.
Mm.
So it's not like, you know, steady state cardio where you can just kick back a little bit and do a long period of time.
Mm-hmm.
So I wasn't really satisfied with that. So I was still on the search on the internet, looking for other things, other programs that might do it, because I still had the goal of being in the best shape of my life when I was 60. So I tried out a couple other things. I was reading a bunch of articles on T-Nation,
mm-hmm.
and that was a little confusing, and the forums weren't very much fun. They were a lot of combative interchanges on the forums there,
mm-hmm.
and I tried out a couple of their programs. I got a book by Chad Waterbury,
mm-hmm.
which was huge in a hurry, and it was like, oh, put on, I think it was 28 pounds, gain 28 pounds of muscle in, I don't know, 6 weeks or 30 days or something like that. And I thought, well, this sounds really good, so I went for that. And it didn't really, it was just more of the same.
Right. Was it eat big, that kind of stuff again?
Yeah, it was... you know, eat big. As long as you're eating big, you got to eat big to put on the muscle. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, I started to gain, and my weight went back up to 163, 164, but it didn't really seem like I'd been gaining that much muscle. And
do you undo all the progress you made with the intervals?
Yeah, pretty much.
So at some point, did you start realizing maybe this isn't the way to go, or were you just, what were you thinking? Or were you thinking there was something wrong with you, or neither?
Yeah, I was thinking, well, I just don't know exactly. I haven't got the right program yet. That was basically it. You know, it's like I haven't tried out very many programs, so maybe I just need to try out more programs. And then my body will respond to one of those programs where it didn't respond to the others.
Mm-hmm.
That sort of thing, yeah.
So then what'd you do?
Well, I tried out a couple more programs, and mm-hmm. I looked around, and I tried to find, you know, at this point, having maybe a couple years experience under my belt, I started to be a little bit more aware of what was just come on sort of advertising, and be able to filter a little the truth out, although it was really hard. And I was still doing quite a bit of research on the internet, and I came across Craig Ballantyne.
Mm-hmm.
And so at this point, I was still doing, you know, the Waterbury program and a little of muscle building secrets and that, because I didn't want to start a new program unless I'd really researched it thoroughly and mm-hmm. made sure that it completely made sense and was down to earth. So when I came upon Craig Ballantyne, I was really impressed because he was very down to earth. He was very mm-hmm. down to earth. He was not talking a lot of big gains. And I really liked his style, and I also appreciated that he was a farm boy, because I grew up on a farm myself.
Mm-hmm.
And I didn't do any of his programs, but I read a lot of what he was talking about, started to read about what he was talking about in terms of diet and nutrition. And then on one of the postings, he had a link to, I think, Brad Pilon's site about mm-hmm. intermittent fasting. And I read what Brad was writing, and that sounded really good, although to me it sounded scary, the whole thing of intermittent fasting. At first, I thought, that's a little extreme.
Yeah, no kidding. Yeah, everyone has that reaction, I think.
Yeah, and I find that funny now, because in comparison to, I didn't think it was so extreme to be eating 6 meals a day and as many calories as I could stuff in.
Yeah, but, ironic, eh? That people don't think that's extreme, but just taking a day off, not even a whole day off, but, you know, a 24-hour chunk, people think that somehow the world's going to end if you do that.
Yeah, it's really amazing. I was really, but the more I read, it sounded very intriguing. And then, of course, I found you and Adonis Index from Brad's site,
mm-hmm.
and I started reading that, and it made the most sense of anything I'd read so far.
Mm-hmm.
And it just, you know, it was like finding a lot of missing pieces and destroying a lot of myths at the same time. And mm-hmm. I kept reading that for, I don't know, maybe 6 weeks or so, 6 weeks or 2 months. I read all the articles and everything that you were posting, until I decided that it made the most sense of anything that I'd come upon, and that's when I bought the Adonis Index program. And that was probably in, like, April or May of 2010. Yeah, just last year.
Okay. And then, okay, so that gets us all the way up to when you kind of joined the community. So when did you decide to do the contest?
Oh, well, that was sort of like, I remember a bunch of talk going on in the blogs and the forums sort of at the end of that contest, of the third contest.
Mm-hmm.
And I remember that, and I don't remember exactly how it happened. It was just, because I don't really, you know, I never really have entered any other contests.
So was it the fact that we created the open category that kind of got you interested?
Yeah, that was it. Because I didn't have that much of a transmit, I didn't have that much of a change to make. I was probably at the time at about 159 pounds. I'd come back down. I'd been doing some sprints and stuff like that, and I'd come back down a little in my weight. So I didn't have that much, what I thought was that far to travel. And so
right.
I thought, oh, the open, that sounds really great. And there's going to be some age categories. And I thought, well, that makes even more sense. And so I just took a look at that, and I said, well, yeah, this is really doable, and I should just jump in. And you know, by the time the contest is over, I'll be 60 years old, and so.
Yeah, well, it's a great story. Well, and your pictures are fantastic. Like, obviously, anyone listening, if you're listening on iTunes, you should shoot over to the blog and check out Joe's pictures. They were, and like you said, okay, you know what? Now let's get into the story. You were saying people thought you actually Photoshopped your pictures. Walk us through the reaction people had when they saw your final pics. And by the way, you did a great job of actually taking really, really good pictures. I mean, that was part of it too.
Well, those were professional pictures.
So I had
a friend. It was like, I thought, well, look, if I'm going to be 60 and I'm entering a contest, I ought to give a gift to myself of going and getting some professional shots taken.
Mm-hmm.
And I had a friend that lived close by who's an excellent photographer. So I just went over, booked some time in his studio, and he took the photos for me.
Mm-hmm.
And so that made it, I'll tell you, it was really interesting because I just said, okay, I'm going to go the whole nine yards. I'm going to get a spray tan, and I'm gonna look the best that I can. And so, when we went to take the pictures, he had it set up so that on his computer, he'd take a bunch of shots, and the shots would come up on the computer right away. And
right.
So, the first thing we did was we took a bunch of shots of the front double bicep shots, and he put those up on his computer, and I saw that shot, and it was like, whoa. I couldn't believe it, because that was always, like, whenever I do that pose, and even though I'd been practicing that pose in the mirror for a little while, for, you know, a couple weeks, I did not have any idea that it was, that I was looking as good as it looked, and I was really blown away, and excited at the same time, because it was beyond what I imagined that I could actually accomplish. And that's a really big sort of achievement for me, because I'd really wanted to be in the best shape, and there I was. I was in the best shape of my whole life. So it was a pretty intense experience.
That's good. Well, I mean, it's a good feeling, right?
Yeah, it was great. So we went ahead and did the rest of the photo shoot, and it was just like, it was like we were having a party in there. It was just like,
like each one just keeps getting better. Your back double by is really good too.
Yeah, it was like, and my wife was there, and so I was getting directions on, oh, stand like this, oh, bend back a little like this, do this, oh, let me put this other light over here. And it was like each one was coming out really great. And then at the end, Mm-hmm. So we'd taken all the shots, and we were trying to decide among the top contenders. And this friend of my photographer friend came in, and she was like, you know, about 30 years old, this young girl, and she comes in, and they're talking, and my friend says, well, we just got done doing a photo shoot of Joe here. You want to see some of the pictures? And so he got some of the pictures up on on his computer, and she was just absolutely floored. So I got immediate feedback. It was really great.
Right, it feels good, eh? And like you said, a lot of people have never seen themselves in a picture in that kind of shape. So other people I've interviewed were surprised at their own photos too. They're like, "Oh my God, that's actually me." Like they kind of. When I talked to Kadhafi in Vegas, he actually didn't think his pictures would look as good as when he finally looked at the picture. So it's kind of a recurring theme. Most people don't realize that they can get into magazine cover model condition just with a good – like what you got to get in shape, but and then you take a good picture and you're just as good as the guy who's actually on Men's Fitness.
I know. It's really, really amazing. It's like you don't really you don't relate to that. It's like, you know, you're used to seeing yourself in a totally different way. Even looking in a mirror, you don't get the same effect as you get if somebody takes a good photo of you.
Yeah, and like how did he have a lot of lighting? Because I know some people did their own lighting and they just threw up one light or one or two lights and that was enough. Like how much different lighting did he actually use?
Oh, he had... he had two or three different lights, you know, and some of them were, one of them was a, had like a big contraption on it. It was sort of like to put out diffuse light.
Oh, right, yeah.
It had sort of a spot and stuff like that. But, you know, one of the photo that I have up on my profile on the forum page that I took of the, that tricep shot.
Right, yeah.
That one I took by myself.
That's a great pick.
Yeah, you can get, and that was just, that was up in my bedroom, and it was light coming in one window. We blocked out all the other lights, all the other windows, and it was light coming in one window, and we took it with that. So it doesn't take that much. You just have to, you know, experiment around with it. I remember I was, like, Mark and I were going back and forth, personal messaging each other. Because he was picking my brain on how I got that shot, and I was telling him, oh, you know, he had some initial shots where he'd put the camera down at about waist level, and I told him, get it up about shoulder level, and you'll be able to see your V taper a lot more, because at waist level it just is a different perspective, and you just sort of look, you don't look as tapered, so
yeah, it might bring your waist somehow closer to the lens, so to speak, and you end up losing some of what you actually look like.
Yeah, that's exactly it.
Yeah, and that's interesting that the shot you took of just by yourself with the side lighting from the window versus the pro shots, that shot is one of the most impressive, the one that you did yourself.
It's true, yeah, and that's why I've decided to use it as my profile, because it is. It is the most impressive. And I couldn't – that something happened during that shot that was really interesting. My wife was taking the shots, and I had it set up so that there was a mirror directly. I think it's one of the most important things. When I did the professional photo shoot with my friend, I had him set up a mirror too, because otherwise you have not that much idea of exactly if your arms are in exactly the right position and how things look. So I had, when my wife and I set it up in our bedroom for that tricep shot, that side tricep shot, I had a mirror, and she was between me and the mirror, but I could still see myself. So just at this, when she was taking shots one after another, just at this one moment, the back head of the deltoid just popped out. And I haven't been able to actually reproduce that since that time.
That's funny. Now, that's a good story though. The mirror matters. And in a lot of my shots, I did the same thing. And I know, I think I've told you guys this, is throw up a mirror. You can go buy one at Walmart for $10, like a portable, like 3 or 4 foot tall mirror, just so when you're doing your shots, you can practice. And then when you recruit the help of someone to actually snap the pictures, they don't know what they're looking at. Most people, even if it's your wife, or even unless it's somebody else who practices this stuff, they're not going to really know when you've hit any of the shots correctly, right? So if you just do it yourself and practice, and then you have a mirror when you're doing your pictures, you can look and be like, oh, yep, that's the right shot. Now, what you said about the rear delt popping out, that's just a matter of practice. Over time, people can hit that, bodybuilders can hit that pose and get it to pop every time. But you're right, it does take quite a bit of practice to get it to the point where you can get that, like, on your first shot.
Yeah, because I couldn't, when I did the professional photo shoot, I couldn't get it to happen at all, so.
Yeah, so it's just, well, yeah, it's just that, and that's not surprising. It's just a timing thing. So for your final, okay, so that's good. So did you walk us through your prep for the open kind of picks? What did you do as from a workout standpoint? Did you modify the workout at all? What did you follow? Because we've got a bunch of chunks to the workout.
Oh, yes. Well, let's see. I think I had sent a message on the forum or something. I'd done the build of the when it was 2.0. I'd done that program prior, and I think I finished that like in sometime at the end of November or December in 2010. So I think I asked your advice on what would be good for me to do next. And that I was going to enter the contest and that I was going to win the contest. I think I said something like that.
It's the right attitude.
Yeah, I felt that if I was going to go for it, I might as well go for it all the way.
Right.
So you mentioned that you thought it would, I think I was saying, well, should I do the muscle building foundation or the 3.0 again? I think you suggested I do the 3.0 again at that point. And so I did that. And I want to back up just a little bit. Earlier in the fall, I was doing the 3.0, and I was having a little trouble doing 4 days a week. Like my recovery would only let me do about 3 days a week. But I could get in 3.5 if I did, worked out one day and rested the next, and then just worked out the next day. Never have 2 days off, just day on, day off.
So just straight up alternate. So 1 week it'd be 4, 1 week it'd be three.
Yes, that's true. Yeah.
Yep.
Right.
Yep.
So I did that. I was able to do that, but I couldn't do just, strict four. It was a little too much. And I was reading a book that was about 17 years old by a chiropractor called Body, Mind, and Sport. And that book, it was about how to increase your recovery rate using some techniques from yoga, some simple breathing techniques, and a few things like that, and how to incorporate that in your program. So I thought, well, if I can learn how to recover, if I can get my recovery up, and let's see, I was 59, so I thought, well, if I can get my recovery up, then I can do 4 days a week, and I can probably get maybe even better results, because if recovery is faster, then I should be able to gain muscle faster, and it would improve everything. And I tried out a breathing technique that he had in there, which yoga, the name of it is Ujjayi, is the name of the breathing technique. And it's basically a way of whatever exercise you're doing, you just breathe through your nose. And there's a certain, you sort at the back of your throat, it's sort of like you constrict it slightly as if you're saying ha. And you, it's some people refer to it as Darth Vader breath, because yourself you can sort of hear that that sound of your breath.
The same sound that Darth Vader makes, yeah.
Yeah. Nobody else. I mean, it's not loud enough that other people can hear, but you can hear it yourself inside your own head. And when you're breathing like that, you breathe out. It helps you to breathe out completely, to completely empty the lungs. And then when you breathe in, you take in as much breath as you can. And to me, what I found happened is it seemed like it got more oxygen in my system.
Hmm.
And I noticed that initially, and the recommendation was to do it, and if you start getting to a place where you're breathing too hard to breathe through your nose, then back off a little. And that solved a big problem that I'd had any time previously in my life, where I'd go really, whenever I did weightlifting, I'd go so intensely that I would just get really exhausted at the end. And if you do that every time, there's a certain time that comes that it's like, this is no fun. I want to procrastinate, and I procrastinate, and I'd say, oh, this is too hard. You know, it's like I'm just sort of like beating myself with a bat every time I go to the gym. And if this is what it is, and it would creep in. I would never say, oh, no, I'm not going to go back to the gym today. I would just say, oh, I'm kind of busy right now. I'll go in about an hour.
Mm-hmm. So you before you learned this technique, you kind of got yourself to the point where working out was more of a chore than enjoyable.
Yeah, it would happen over and over and over. That's why for, you know, all those years from when I was like 28 to when I was 59, I'd go in and I'd get started and I'd be hard at it for a few weeks or a couple months, and then it was just like too much. And I think you can only, you know, different people have different tolerances for pain.
Mm-hmm.
And I think a real key is to find out where yours is. And especially for people that are, you know, as you get older, it becomes, I think, more important to know where your tipping point is, where you're going at it too intensely, and learn where to back off. And I never really had a good gauge of that. You know, I grew up on a farm in the Midwest, and the way that we learned how to work was you just throw yourself into it until you can't do anything anymore, and then you take time out to breathe for, you know, 5 or 10 minutes, and then you you hit it again.
Right.
And I never had the technique for just being able to work through things. I noticed on my crew, on my a lot of Mexican guys work on my construction crew.
Mm-hmm.
I noticed they didn't work as fast as a lot of local guys, but they were able to work like, you know, 14, 16-hour days if they needed to, and it didn't faze them a bit. And as I got to talking to them, I discovered that they'd learned how to pace themselves, you know, growing up in Mexico when they were doing work there.
Mm-hmm.
And so this breathing technique really helped me to learn how to gauge how much intensity. Because if I was doing too much work, then I would start to have to breathe through my mouth. And when I did that, I would back off a little. Once I did that, the first workout I used it on, I got done with the workout and I said, what's this? I don't feel exhausted. I feel great.
Mm-hmm. That's a big thing. So then did that allow you to bump it up to 4 workouts a week?
Yeah. So then it was like, okay, I'll bump it up to 4 workouts a week. And then I thought, I got to doing that for about 2 or 3 weeks. And it was like, I can do more. So I added in a one of the specializations. I added in an arm specialization, and so for two days out of the week, I do the arm specialization on days that I wasn't working out. So I was basically working out 6 days a week.
Which, interesting, and you know, but you could have never done that before.
Never done that before. Never done that. And I was 59 years old, and I was feeling great, and I was making progress. So so that really was something that I discovered that helped me quite a bit. And I continue to do that. And, it's something that initially I had to back down my weights a little bit in order to maintain that. But after doing that for about 4 weeks, maybe 5 weeks or so, my performance levels were above where I started out. And when I started out, I look back on when I did the 2.0, several months earlier.
Yeah.
And I was doing the same workout, but I was breathing through my nose the whole thing. I was using heavier weights than I did when I was completely going at it, as hard as I could before, and breathing through my mouth. So it made a huge difference with my conditioning.
And okay, and so just so for everyone, if anyone wants to follow up on it, what would they search again? What's the book, and then what's the technique again?
Oh, the book is called Body, Mind, and Sport. It was written by Dr. John Duyard back in about 94. And, you can find it on Amazon used for just a few pennies. And
sure.
the technique is, in yoga, it's called Ujjayi breath is the way. I'm not sure if I have that pronounced completely correctly, but that's basically what it's called.
Sure. We'll throw up some notes on the post, and then maybe, if you don't mind putting some notes in the form about it, because everyone's going to hear this, so they're going to be interested for sure.
Yeah, and I think it's especially useful for the seniors because it makes it a lot easier for us to do multiple days and recover faster.
Hey man, I even think guys in my age category could help. I mean, I'm only in my mid 30s, but I still remember. I mean, I just don't recover anywhere near the same as when I was in my early 20s. So it's already affecting someone my age. So I can imagine 20 years from now, it's definitely. I mean, you got to pay attention to that stuff, right? Your capacity. I mean, you brought up that's a super key point you brought up. You have to recognize where your tipping point is and work within it, and maybe do this type of research to find out if there's a way to increase your capacity. So that was actually a really good point. What did you? Okay, so I guess that was training, and go ahead.
If I can, there's one other point about this that I think is really important. There's a lot of people that start the training program, and I've been one of them, over like 30 years of my life, where you'd start it and you wouldn't follow through. And this whole thing of recovery is really important, because if you're not recovering fully, you're not going to enjoy it, and you're not going to enjoy it not just only physically, but it's going to affect you mentally and emotionally, and you're not going to want to go back and keep exercising if you're not recovered. It gets you so that it just pulls you down, and you start feeling like, well, I'll just like do something else. I'll avoid doing that. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah. Well, yeah. That's classic overtraining. If it's too much, or you're it's kind of like Howard Mensch says that there's just only so much intensity you have, and if you just overdo it, you can potentially spoil yourself to the point where you don't want to do whatever it was that you were overdoing. So basically, exercising, you can push yourself over the edge and then just be like, exercise, whatever. Weight training is not for me. So and I don't think too many guys consider what you just said. A breathing technique from something like yoga that no guy would associate with using a technique borrowed from yoga right in the middle of a workout. Like, kind of
All right.
sort of the stubborn male idea would be just hammer through the workout. It's okay to be grunting and huffing and but I mean, like you said, as we get old, maybe a 20-year-old will hammer through something like that and they'll just deal with it. But like you said, as our recovery capacity diminishes as we age, we got to be smarter and proactive with spurring our recovery. Anything we can do, any technique at all for helping our recovery along is important.
Yeah, that's a really good point you just made because when you're younger, when you're in your 20s, you recover so fast, it doesn't matter, it just doesn't faze you that much. But it's a lot more important as you get older.
And
It's
especially when you get
very
older, you can't keep acting like you're 20, and a lot of guys do, and then they just keep getting hurt and keep breaking down. Like
well, and that,
it took
yep.
me forever to get the fact that I just couldn't. It was of no value for me to continually try to bench press 300 pounds. It just doesn't. All I'm going to do is break down. It just there's no just because I used to be able to do it doesn't mean I can or even should do it now.
Yes. And a lot of us, if you've done weight training when you were younger and then you get into it, whether you're in your 30s or 40s or 50s, and you're conditioned to think, well, I should be able to do what I'll just do it the same way I did when I was in my 20s. And that doesn't work.
No.
Yeah.
So far. Go ahead.
Oh, well, there's this other point that I wanted to bring up about what this breathing technique does that I found very interesting. Is like a lot of times if you're just huffing and puffing to get to do the maximum that you can, it actually brings up sort of I think the fight or flight response in your nervous system, and it gets all the adrenaline going, which is a good thing and can help your performance. But it also, especially as you get older, that adrenaline can wear you out pretty fast. And that's where you get some real exhaustion coming in. And you also deplete, I think you take down, the gets depleted faster and your immune system gets depleted faster when you go into that faster breathing. And the thing that I found with that slower breathing is that, actually that book that I mentioned doesn't go into this, the actual breathing when you're doing the reps. And so I sort of had to make up my own thing. And so I'd be breathing like an out breath, and I'd do like two or three repetitions while I was breathing out. And I was amazed that I was actually able to do more reps or more weight when I was doing that. It actually seemed like it was giving me more power than when I was, doing the breath in and breath out during each rep.
That's really
And
interesting.
that's my personal experience.
Sure.
And I don't know if other people would find it to be the same, but I found that my whole physiology was much more settled. I could be more focused, and at the same time, it seemed like it gave me more power than when I was breathing in and out each time I was raising and lowering. So it's just a
That's
little
really
thing.
that's a re that's really interesting that you actually kind of pieced it together yourself there. So, well, I mean, I guess if people want to bug you in the forums, and maybe you can explain it in a little bit more detail or lay it out how you did it. But we don't really have, I mean, space for it here. So, well, that's really interesting. So, what did you do for run us? Do you have any tips on what you did for diet? Did you do anything different this time around to get into your final photo shoot look?
Well, it's really interesting because Eat Stop Eat, the intermittent fasting, worked like a charm. Whenever I want to lose, if I do it twice a week, I usually lose at least a pound or a pound and a half every time I do it. It's just, I was never a person that I could lose weight easier than I could gain weight.
Yeah.
So I was never really fat in my life until I got, you know, on the eat everything diet and got up to 166. But before that, I was just always pretty consistent. So during the eat, stop, eat, I would get, I didn't have to do very many of those to drop the body fat. Mm-hmm. And as far as my diet goes, one of my relatives asked me, she has a teenage boy, and she was asking me what I was doing. And I said, well, I did no drugs, and I did no hormone therapy. That's a big thing for when you get to be in your 50s and 60s. But I did no hormone therapy. I did no steroids. Mm-hmm. I did no caffeine. I did no protein powders. I did no supplements. I did no six meals a day. Practically no dairy products, mm-hmm. practically no eggs, and the only meat I had was about maybe 10 to 12 ounces of chicken per week,
mm-hmm.
and I didn't count calories.
Good. So the only thing you used to cut fat was Eat, Stop, Eat, and then everything you just ate, foods that you just like eating.
Yeah, and I didn't worry about the protein, and mm-hmm. I just ate the food that I like eating. Mm-hmm. So you know, when I eat, I just eat what tastes good and what digests smoothly and gives me good even energy. So that was all I was concerned with.
Yeah, well, I guess we preach simplicity, and that's about as simple as it gets. It couldn't actually be any simpler than that.
Yeah. For me, you know, other people, their bodies may be different, and when I read on the forum, some guys will gain weight really easily, and it's more important for them to watch how many calories they're taking in, but it's more of a struggle. But for me, it was very easy.
Well, and to each their own, right? Then that's part of why I always say it's kind of hard to recommend what to do dietary-wise, because, yours is going to be different than the next guy over than the next guy over from him, so it doesn't really make sense for everyone to actually try the exact same technique. It's going to be somewhat personalized, even beyond just calories. It's going to have to be personalized somehow. But that's, no one will know. Only the person doing it's going to know.
Right, and for me, I was concerned about how much I should actually lose. It's like, I didn't want to look skinny,
mm-hmm.
and I wanted to strike a balance between looking like I had enough muscle mass but wasn't too skinny, and being older. I thought, well, naturally being older, I'm going to probably tend to look skinnier the less body fat that I have. So I could have actually gotten less body fat, but I just didn't want to risk looking too skinny in my pictures.
No, I think you landed exactly in the right spot. So, your pictures are great. So I guess we're getting on to the end here. So what would you... you've already given some, I think the best advice I've heard so far is, and totally unique. You're the first person to even bring up the concept of breathing and recognizing your specific sort of capacity before you kind of push it too far. Is that your major take-home points? Like, what advice would you give to other guys in your age category who want to get in shape? What's your sort of take-home message or final point?
Well, the main thing is building muscle, losing fat. This is something you guys have hammered away at, and it's really completely true. Losing fat is a sprint, and building muscle is an endurance race.
Mm-hmm.
And especially for guys that are older, that are my age, it's a different ball game. You can't. The muscles don't react as fast as they did when you were younger. So it's important to approach it as an endurance race. And in order to be able to continue to do it, you have to get really tuned in on your intensity level, and you have to be able to do it at a level that will allow you to continue doing it. And when you start out, your capacity may not be there, and it may not be nearly what you remember it being when you were younger. But you can't be discouraged by that. You just have to accept where you are right now and work with it and be patient with it. It's like you have to almost learn how to get along with your body, with your desires. I mean, you know, our desires are, well, we want to look great, we want to put on a bunch of muscle, we want to do it right away. But you have to have more patience, I think, as you get older with that whole desire. And you have to learn, your body will come along. I think I'm proof of that. Your body will come along and will surprise you at what it can produce. But you have to be able to, you can't just go and grind yourself into the ground. You have to have patience, and you have to work with what you have, and your capacity will develop. It'll develop slower than when you were young, but it will develop, and it will, if you allow it to, it'll take you beyond where you thought, where you could go. So I think that's the take-home message that I've learned, the biggest one.
Well, that's great, and the words of wisdom that I couldn't have ever possibly produced. So I think that's perfect. I think we'll leave it there. And
can I make one more little comment?
Oh yeah, yep, fired up.
Okay. The thing that I haven't mentioned is, we all have this look, I think even from early age, that the power look, the Adonis look. It's really an archetype. It's really an archetype for power and strength and virility, and it's something that consciously and subconsciously we're all drawn to, and everybody in society is drawn to it, you know, male or female. And the thing that I want to praise you about, John, is the way that you put together the program to really emphasize that look. Like, I've been on other programs that, you know, where you do a lot of squats and you do a lot of deadlifts, and I did those and my butt got really big and my legs got big, and you know, shoulders not so much, and upper chest not so much. But the program that the way you've laid it out, really develops that power look. It really develops the shoulders. It really develops the upper chest, the upper back. It does a great job of accomplishing what we all consider to look like the archetypical power look. And that is a really unique part of the Adonis. And you really have to, I think it's important to remember that is one of the key components. It's like when I looked at my front double bicep pose, the reason it looked so powerful was because those shoulders were built up, the upper chest was built up, the lats were built up, and I had never achieved that on any other program. And so I think you should get tremendous kudos for your program design.
I appreciate it. I think other people could have figured it out. I guess we were the first ones to stop and really think about it. But I totally appreciate that. It's kind of humbling to hear that. And well, I guess that's a good note to leave on. I totally appreciate you being on with us, Joe. And I think this was a really great interview, and a lot of people are going to learn a lot from this one. And so for Joe Weaver, I'm John Barbin, and that's your Adonis Lifestyle Podcast.